Mini episode 1852 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1852. You have with you here today FDH Lounge dignitary Rick Morris, along with one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, Fran Stuckberry, the great sports writer from Our Sports Central. And you can find his writings on all levels of football, but many, many, many different sports as well on oursportscentral.com. Always a pleasure to have him on. It's most of the time when he comes on, it's to talk college football, and that is the case today. This is our college football preview for the year 2025. Much to get into across the country. The 2024 season was the great reset. It was the one that we had all been waiting for. It was going to be the first year of the expanded playoff, the first year with the new super duper conferences, and a large wave of realignment that went along with that. This is year two in the new world here, and we're a couple of years, of course, into NIL. So it's a radically different landscape than we saw at the beginning of the decade, and a pretty different landscape than what we saw 2 years ago. And here to break it all down for us, help it make sense, the great Fran Stuckberry. Fran, welcome back to the show, my friend. Great to have you as always.
Hey, Rick, my pleasure being on talking college football with you. It's always fun how we break it down in our own unique, special way.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And as far as a lot of the headlines from the offseason here, we just saw recently that the Michigan quote-unquote punishment, I think you kind of have to put it in air quotes, from 2023 and all the misgivings that went on, all the misdeeds during their quote-unquote championship season. Basically, they're just going to have to pay a bunch of money. And realistically, in this new world, this can hurt you a lot as far as your competitiveness on the field, but not nearly as much as missing the postseason or having actual sanctions or anything like that. So waiting for that to happen with Michigan was one of the big things. Of course, the settlement, NCAA house settlement that went on over the course of the offseason, the $20 million now allotted to each school, and that NIL is going to be, well, NIL from here on in, of where it's actually going to be name, image, likeness for endorsements. And supposedly there's going to be a Big Six accounting firm to make sure it's all legit on that one and you're not getting extra money funneled in from the program. Hashtag, yeah, right. So a couple things that have happened since Ohio State was crowned the national champions last year in Atlanta. And what were some of the more interesting things that you saw happen, Fran, between the end of last season and this season?
Well, the transfer portal, like a million players transferring back and forth. Carson Beck, remember a year ago, he was supposed to be like a top pick in the NFL draft.
Yep.
Terrible season.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Miami and he's making $4 million. Come on, Rick. I mean,
yeah.
I don't consider – he's not one of my top quarterbacks going into the draft next year. He could have proved me wrong, but I don't think he's going to.
I don't think he's going to either. And I, for what it's worth, my niece thinks he's a stiff. But, so we'll have to see how that – she saw him up close playing in the state of Georgia the last couple of years. So, we'll see if she ends up being right about that. I think she actually might. But a very, very, very interesting season that we come into. And as we do sometimes – here in the course of doing our preview, I'll just throw it out here, starting with the group of five. I've got my predictions, by the way. You can go find them. Our guide is a fantasy and non-fantasy guide, Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. Predicted group of five champions from me, AAC champion to be Tulane, Western Kentucky and Conference USA. The MAC champions looking for a repeat with the Ohio Bobcats. Mountain West champion, Boise State. That's probably the chalkiest one of the bunch. And Texas State to win the Sun Belt. So those are my thoughts. When you look at the group of five, Fran, what are some of the things that interest you most in the year 2025?
Well, I think Boise is going to be the top team to get the playoff field like last year. Mm-hmm. Memphis, oh, please let us join the Big 12. We'll pay $250 million. Come on, Rick. They're not worth it, Rick. I mean, Big 12 said nope.
Yeah. I mean, it's a poverty university and a poverty city. I mean, it is what it is when you're talking about that. I mean, it's just not a good fit all the way around there.
The thing is, it's funny because, I mean, I give Connecticut more of a chance to get to a ACC or Big 12 down the road because they have a powerhouse basketball, men's and women's basketball teams. Plus, the football team is getting much better. Jim Moore Jr. is doing a nice job. They got to a bowl game. They had a win over UNC.
Yeah, that's true. And so seeing how that goes and the progression of some of these schools up the ladder here, I know that my Ohio Bobcats have been linked to the Sun Belt Conference, which I'm in favor of at this point. I differ from FDH Lounge fellow original dignitary Chris Galloway, a fellow Bobcat, who believes in loyalty towards the MAC and rooting for the MAC to do well. I don't give two craps about the MAC. I want what's best for my school, and that's to continue to be able to climb the ladder. I mean, MAC to Sun Belt is practically a parallel move, but I'll take it at this point. The MAC is, for apparently this is my word of the day, the MAC is a poverty conference. I would be glad to be rid of it as a Bobcat fan. I have no nostalgia as an alum for that being the case. For conferences that are not poverty conferences, but are not part of the Big Two, because there are four conferences now in this new world that get automatic buys to the NCAA tournament, but no longer is it 1, 2, 3, 4. So that means that basically by signing on to that, the ACC and the Big 12 kissed away their number 3 and number 4 spots respectively, albeit Boise ended up yoinking one of them a year ago here. And I think it was, who was it? Was it SMU, right? SMU tumbled out of one of the top spots here. Clemson did. I believe it was Clemson that tumbled out of one of the spots there because the buys went to Boise and to Arizona State. So in looking at this, the Big 12, you and I talked about this a year ago, and I said to you off air that I'm certainly going to bring this up. I mean, we didn't go out on a real big limb, but we called it. We called it exactly as far as they're not going to put a great team out there in the playoffs. It's going to be a good team, but it's going to be a whole host of good teams. A lot of teams through the course of the year, they're going to have 2 losses, 3 losses, probably not a 4-loss team in the mix, but a lot of 2 and 3-loss teams towards the end jockeying to get in there. And it was the most entertaining conference in that regard of there's no conference in America that has more games that matter towards the ultimate championship game appearance here and the two teams that end up in there. It ended up being Arizona State and Iowa State, which if you'd have bet that exacta at the beginning of the season, you probably could have retired off of that. I've joked about this. Arizona State picked for last in the Big 12 a year ago. I did better than most. I only picked them for third last. I'm picking them to win it this year. I'm picking them to repeat. I'm picking them to play against BYU in the championship game. I think BYU, we certainly know in college basketball, it's going to be a huge year for them building off of last year's Sweet 16 appearance with A.J. DeBancia, who's probably the top pick in the 2026 NBA draft. But on the gridiron, too, these 12 months for BYU have a chance to be really special. I think they're going to make the championship game. I've got Kansas State right there on the outside looking in, Texas Tech, Baylor, Iowa State, Utah, Kansas, Colorado in that order. The Big 12, I think, as far as the dynamic of the conference playing out, I think it's going to be identical to a year ago with all these teams in the mix and so many games along the way that are going to mean something, at least as far as making the championship game, if not nominating a national championship contender, because there's not one coming out of this conference.
Well, definitely, Rick. I mean, the thing is, remember in the 1990s when we watched the WWF, Vince mm-hmm. McMahon used to say, anything can happen in the WWF. Well, anything can happen in the Big 12, where yep. Arizona State was picked to finish last, and they won the conference. And yeah. I mean, so they decided to get rid of their big season, their preseason poll. They didn't want to do that again and be wrong, or they felt it wasn't necessary. One game that's intriguing, week zero in Ireland, you have Iowa State, Kansas. That game can really set the tone on who could be a possible Big 12 championship contender. Rocco Beck is the quarterback of Iowa State. His dad coaches the United Football League St. Louis Battlehawks, Anthony Beck. So that's a nice, interesting connection. That's going to be a fun game at noon. I'll be watching that Saturday on ESPN. That'll be a fun game, fun week zero game to watch.
It certainly will be. And again, one of the things we also have in Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, again, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, on the same page as the conference standings that I have predicted here. Also, the top 25 games of the year, in my estimation, I've got that one down at number 23 for the entire season. Iowa State, Kansas State in Dublin, week zero, Saturday, August 23rd. I think that is going to be a really interesting game. And again, I talked about this, friend. There's no conference that has more games out there that are going to be meaningful towards who end up being the two teams in the championship game. You get this right off the bat. This is going to be a game that matters right there. Somebody's coming out of week one with an L, and the margin of error shrinks dramatically, because is it possible in this conference that you could see a team in the championship game with three conference losses? It is possible. But the odds get a lot longer for whoever loses the game Saturday.
Definitely. A wild card team to keep an eye on is Texas Tech, because they've been spending lots of oil money.
Yep.
They've been transferring. They spend so much money in athletics, so much in football. Texas Tech is a wild card. It's all a situation. If they have a bad season, their coach could be out the door.
Could be. And when you look at this here, in terms of programs that have been stronger in the conference in recent, in some of the more distant recent years than the last year or two, there may be a little bit of impatience coming in a couple of these programs here. The ones that I'm picking to finish the last three in the conference, 14 Cincinnati, 15 Houston, 16 West Virginia. There are going to be some seats getting a lot hotter at these programs if this isn't the year that these teams take a decided step forward.
Well, it's fun to see that Rich Rodriguez is back in West Virginia. So that's interesting. They have a new coach in Houston, the guy who went from Tulane. And Cincinnati, I mean, that's really up in the air. They were a good AAC team, but they're just not cutting it in the Big 12.
Yeah. And again, and you raise a good point, too. The leash may get a little bit longer in Houston and West Virginia because of the new coaches, but you're going to wipe out all the goodwill year one if they finish where I think they're going to finish, which is down there at the bottom of the conference.
Well, also, another fun team to keep an eye on this year is UCF with Scott Frost. He was great in UCF, got beat Alabama in the playoff. Then he bombed Nebraska, but everyone bombs Nebraska. Now he's back at UCF.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to go very well year one. I've got them finishing 12th in the conference. I think it's going to be tough there. So I think that they're probably on like the third tier basically at best. So the Big 12 is the most competitive conference. Probably the next competitive conference at this point would be the ACC, and it's the other non-power one out of the Big Four conferences. It's in the other two of the Big Four, along with the Big 12. My picks at the top, traditional ACC powers, Clemson and Miami. I've got them in the championship game with Clemson coming out on top. I've got SMU hanging in there very, very strongly. I've got them in the three spot. I think Louisville is going to continue to be strong and right there on the doorstep. Georgia Tech, which has been making some nice strides forwards in recent years, I've got them fifth place in the conference. Looking at some of the other ones here, Florida State, seventh place. Is it enough to save the coach's job? I don't know, but it would be a step forward from the way that they've bottomed out. I've got Bill Belichick and North Carolina, number nine, right at about the midway point of the conference. Back in January, I was thinking that they were possibly going to win the ACC, not because of any particular coaching prowess or whatever, but supposedly the NIL money that they were lining up was going to be just overwhelming. But as we get a little bit closer to the season, it doesn't really look like that may make as much of a difference. Going down the line in the conference here, It continues to be rough sledding for Stanford and California. This always makes me laugh. The West Coast representatives in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I've got Stanford and California in 14th and 16th place, respectively. Also down at the bottom, Virginia 15, Wake Forest 17. So it's pretty soft when you get to the bottom of the conference. But again, towards the top, Clemson, Miami, either of those teams has a chance to make it as a wild card into the playoffs if they lose the championship game. SMU, certainly, you could see that again as well if they're right there. Potentially Louisville if they were to lose in the championship game. So the ACC's got a little bit more depth to it than the Big 12 at the very top, I would say, as far as teams that are a threat to win maybe at least one game before getting eliminated in the playoffs.
Well, it's one thing. We have to mention Georgia Tech as a possible sleeper. They're playing Colorado. Well, I mean, Deion Sanders with that, you know, I mean, we're probably the only podcast that hasn't mentioned them by now. But Georgia Tech is a sleeper team. They had a good season last year. They might be tough. But the thing is, they also have a tough schedule. Clemson is a team to beat hands down in this conference. Kate Klubnik might win the Heisman, especially if he has a good performance against LSU week one. That Clemson LSU game is going to be a great game week one. And then we have Miami Notre Dame that Sunday. I don't know what to expect of that game. I mean, Carson Beck against an inexperienced quarterback Notre Dame, but I mean, whoever loses that game still is not out of the playoff.
Yeah, that's true. And ultimately, the return of Catholics versus convicts is going to be a very, very substantial marker for the season. I've got that number 15 on our list of top 25 games for the season. It's a front-loaded schedule. There's some very, very, very good games week one. And as we turn our attention...
Well, Rick, as fans can see, I'm wearing my NC State shirt in the background. NC State's the middle-of-the-pack team. And when you're in the middle-of-the-pack, Rick, you can't do any better. So Dave Doran, I mean, if they have another middle-of-the-pack season, it might be time to say goodbye to him.
It might be, yeah. And so for those that are catching the video feed of this thing here, again, yeah, Fran wearing that. And for anyone who's watching the video feed of this, I'll give the Wolfpack for life as Fran is wearing the Wolfpack gear. So in the SEC, I mean, you're talking about great games the first weekend. I think it's the game of the year, number one on our list, Texas at Ohio State. Saturday, August 30th, it is the swan song for Lee Corso, his last game on ESPN's Game Day program. Texas on the road for this one. They are, a lot of people feel like, the team to beat as far as a national championship favorite for this year, in large part because there are very, very, very few schools that have had such an elite five-star prospect like Arch Manning, who has had the benefit of 2 years to more or less sit and learn. He's played intermittently, but he is a top talent who is being unleashed fully on the world the first time this year. Texas and Georgia, I've got them again at the top of the conference. This is, I think, one of the great new building rivalries in college football that we're seeing, with Texas coming into the SEC and Georgia being the preeminent team of the couple of years before that. I've got Alabama at number three. I think Kalen DeBoer year two, it's going to be a little bit of a different story. LSU, I've got right on the heels. South Carolina, I think they're going to stay up there and stay strong. Texas A&M, Florida, Tennessee, that's who I've got behind that. I've got Mississippi at nine. In the two major conferences, I want to highlight in particular some of the schools that, if they make the second division, I think that's going to be something that is really, really substantial as far as being held against the coaches and the program. It's going to really warm up the hot seats. Not like Brent Venables needs it any hotter in Norman, Oklahoma, but I've got them finishing 10th. So I've got them outside of the first division of the SEC. He may not survive another year if that happens. Auburn 11, that would be pretty costly if they don't make the first division. Looking at some of the other schools here, Missouri 13, they've got a little bit of goodwill to burn. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Kentucky 16, that's something worth keeping an eye on here, that if Kentucky really slides to the bottom of the conference, what ends up being the reaction there. So, again, in the two mega power conferences in college football, again, the stakes are very high. You get a lot of premium matchups week after week after week in the season. they're not, you don't get a lot of them that are going to matter as much in terms of the title picture, unlike the Big 12. In the Big 12, these games will all impact the title picture. Here, a lot of these ones will not impact the title picture, but like without looking at the schedule and seeing exactly who's playing who this year, you know, if you were to get, say, you know, Tennessee, South Carolina, something like that, that may or may not impact the conference title picture, but that would be important. Florida, Mississippi, kind of the same thing. So, you know, Texas A&M, LSU, there are just more matchups during the course of the year that seem to have more heft to them, even if neither of the teams involved ends up being a part of the Big Two at the end, because it's going to take a lot, I think, to dislodge Texas and Georgia from those spots.
Well, Texas and Georgia are on a head-on collision. They're going to play at Georgia, where I think Georgia will probably beat them, because Georgia's such a dominant home team. Then they'll probably play in the SEC Championship as well. But SEC team is kind of top-heavy with teams that there's high expectations for Florida, but they have a tough schedule. That's going to be really tough for them. Tennessee, we know what happened with their quarterback, who wanted more money and ran to UCLA because he had nobody else. Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia would stay in school forever like Van Wilder with all the NIL money he's making.
Yeah, and that's something to keep an eye on as the season unfolds. But, yeah, there's a lot of games here, unsurprisingly, that are on the FDH list of top 25 games for the season, number two for the season. So Texas is involved in both of the Big Two games, at Ohio State week one and then at Georgia November 15th. Not long before a possible, maybe probable rematch in the SEC Championship game. Number four game of the year, Alabama at Georgia, September 27th. That will be huge. Number five, Georgia at Tennessee, September 13th. Just going on here, looking at some of the other ones, there are some very, very interesting ones here. Florida at LSU, September 13th. I mean, that's probably an eliminator game right there. This is a cross-conference game, Florida at Miami, September 20th. That's the number 18 game of the year, right behind number 17 at LSU. Texas at Texas A&M, November 29th. So there's a lot of games here. Number 22, Georgia at Auburn, October 11th. So there's a lot of games that really, really, really matter. I'm seeing another one, number 24, Florida at Mississippi, November 15th. So, yeah, there's
– Well, Rick, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Brian Kelly. He started the last four – season with a loss. Now they play Clemson. There's a lot of pressure on Brian Kelly for LSU to, you know, get in that playoff. And it's also pressure on Bama to get in there after, make the playoff and win a game.
Well, and that's the whole thing here, too, is that Kalen DeBoer in year two, the pressure is going to be there because, again, if you're at one of these very, very, very storied programs, over the course of time, folks remember the history. They can recite it to you at the drop of a hat. And again, it was hard to believe there would ever be a more successful coach at Alabama than Bear Bryant, but Nick Saban proved to be that. But Bear Bryant, I think that's what gave rise to the saying, you don't want to be the guy following the guy. You want to be the guy following the guy following the guy, because I don't remember exactly who was up next in that spot, but it didn't go well. People kind of tend to forget this. I think it was Gene Stallings in 1992 that led Alabama to the national championship. So there was a brief resurgence, but then they'd really kind of fallen off until Nick Saban got there. So there's a lot of anxiousness because Alabama last year, I mean, they were a championship contending team until the final weekend. But Alabama, particularly as the year went on, and I think that the one that just sort of broke the spell for everybody in terms of whether they were still the Alabama team of the previous year and previous years was the loss to Vanderbilt. I think that's where everybody was like, that would have never happened to a Nick Saban team. So Kalen DeBoer, again, an excellent coach and somebody that's really kind of, you know, risen up the ranks. Other than the fact that he spent time at Washington and built them into a national championship power, the 2023 runners-up, probably should have been the national champions if Michigan was forced to vacate, but that's another story for another time. Very similar career path to Jim Tressel as far as small school coaching, but Tressel went right to Ohio State. Kalen DeBoer in the meantime, building up Washington before it were coming to Alabama. But yeah, this is going to be a year of just immense consequence there. Like, I'm not saying that he's out if they go 9-3, 8-4, whatever, but it's really going to make the seat very, very hot going into year three, if that's the case.
Well, Rick, I'll give my first FBH Lounge prediction. I think a prominent SB coach will be out of a job this year because the losses and pressure. And keep an eye on, wait for it, John Gruden to maybe, he wants to get back into coaching. The NFL teams are still going to be a little hesitant to hire him. I can see him going to the SEC and doing a good job.
Okay. I was hoping you weren't going to say Josh Heupel there, but okay, all right.
And Nick Saban, he wants to go to the NFL. I mean, he's not. If the team has the quarterback, I can see Nick Saban going coaching an NFL team if he gets the quarterback like Harbaugh did with the Chargers.
Yeah, very possibly that could be the case. And speaking of Harbaugh's old conference, the Big Ten, that's the one that we haven't taken a look at yet. You've got, I think the chalk in the conference right now, I know from what you've said to me off air, you probably agree. For all the people out there that are like, oh, it's Penn State's year, it's different this year. I mean, it may be, but that's where the phrase guilty until proven innocent comes in. I think it's Ohio State, then Penn State in that order. One of the games of the year, it's number 14 on our top 25 list. Penn State at Ohio State, November 1, a big noon game. That is, yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Well, the only thing I'll say in defense of that is November 1st. Remember, Fox also has the rights to MLB. November 1st would be the seventh game of the World Series. So they do have to keep the night open just in case. But you're looking at a circumstance here where I think Ohio State benefits from a lot of graduation, as far as, the lightening of the roster somewhat from Oregon. A lot of their top guys, going bye-bye, going to the NFL. So that's a thing where departures at Oregon, it kind of opens things up a little bit here at the top. Ohio State, Penn State, I think Oregon, I got them in third. From there, it could be a real jumble, and I'll tell you what, the schools that end up on the wrong end of this thing, and if anybody slides back to, again, the second division in the Big Ten, there could be consequences. Illinois, number 4, I'm kind of buying them as far as being a team that's going to stick around after last year's breakthrough with Brent Bielema. Number 5, Michigan. 6, Indiana. 7, USC. I think Lincoln Riley takes a step forward, but it's not going to be necessarily that big. Ditto with Nebraska at number 8. Iowa, I've got them number 9. Some people would disagree and slot them higher, but that would leave a number of schools in the second division of the Big Ten where there could be consequences. Probably none yet at Washington. I've got them at number 10. I think that, again, Jed Finch, he'll get at least, I think a third year to try and get things, reestablished there. But programs where, again, there could be some hot seats here if they don't take a step forward. 12, Wisconsin, 13, UCLA, 14, Minnesota, 16, Michigan State, 17, Purdue, 18, Northwestern. Purdue, there's going to be a little bit of slack here, but, some of the other schools, the Minnesotas, the Wisconsins of the world, they should at least be expected to be in the top division of the Big Ten, and it may not happen this year. I don't think it will.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten is kind of top heavy. I think Ohio State is going to be Texas that week one. I'm really high on Ohio State. I will say one thing: if they played Penn State at night, that game is a lock for Ohio State. But with them playing at noon, it kind of opens the door for Penn State to possibly win that game.
Yeah, quite possibly. I agree with that. I think Ohio State's going to win that game. I think as we're taking a look ahead here, I actually think Ohio State. Yeah, I think they're going to go 3-0 against Penn State this year because Penn State may not lose any other games. I do feel that there is some legitimacy to Penn State taking a step forward. They did, after all, make it to the national semifinals this past season. However, that comes with a bit of an asterisk in terms of I think they had a second-round game against who was it? I think it was Boise in the second round, was it not?
Yep.
So, because of the 3-4 the thing, the seeding was kind of wonky last year. I've got my final four as being pretty chalky. I've got it being number one, Ohio State, over number four, Penn State. That's because I think Ohio State's going to win week one against Texas. Number two, Texas, over number three, Georgia. And my dad and everyone else in the Buckeye State will be very disappointed to hear this. I do feel like in the national championship game, bookending the season, Texas gets their revenge. Arch Manning gets his national championship. Number two, Texas over number one, Ohio State, in the national championship game, in my estimation.
Well, that's interesting, Rick. I mean, and let's just say if Texas does win, does Arch Manning stay in school or does he go? My thing is it depends on who has the top pick in the draft.
Well, and here's what's hilarious. You look at the NFL and two teams that appear to be tanking based on their quarterback situation are Grandpappy's team, his namesake, Archie Manning's Saints, and the Colts, who have the choice between the execrable Danny Dimes and Anthony Richardson. So you're looking at two teams that pretty much have 3-14, 4-13 written all over them based purely on the quarterback situation.
And not your Browns, who, I mean, they might keep four quarterbacks on the roster this year. They would love to tank and get that quarterback.
I actually don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to win. They can't do anything right, and that includes tanking. I think they're going to joke their way into like 6 or 7 wins, and I think they're going to be out of it because, again, they're going to be able to get competent play at quarterback from Joe Flacco and possibly from Shedeur Sanders when he plays later in the season. The defense is pretty stout. I mean, it's not as airtight as some of the homers around here think, but you know, I think the Browns are probably going to joke their way to like 7 wins and screw themselves out of the chance to get Arch Manning, who they would like to get. There's been a lot of rumors about Arch Manning and Nick Saban coming here. Like, why would either one of them want to be a part of the shite show with Jimmy Haslam? You know, they both know better, I'm sure. I know Haslam's friends with the Manning family, but that only takes you so far. So, again, Texas and Ohio State in the national championship game for me. I mean, what could be more chalky than that, Fran? And I freely admit it.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I mean, anything is, Rick, by the time we do our midpoint season show, I mean, we'll probably have different opinions and a coach will probably be fired by then. The Heat's going to be on some of these coaches. The thing is, keep in mind that people are, you think like if Rick and Lincoln Riley or Brian Kelly are going to get fired? Absolutely not. They're not going to buy out their millions of dollar contract plus pay NIL for players. So they can be mediocre and be safe.
That's right. So seeing how this all plays out during the course of the year is going to be fun. And like you said, we'll be back to do this in October like we did last year, take a little bit of a midpoint view of the season here and how things have gone according to what we thought, how things have gone according to the opposite of what we thought, and so on and so forth. But Fran Stuckberry from our Sports Central, always a pleasure to have you on, my man. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you, Rick. It's going to be a pleasure. And I'm so excited about watching week one college game day. We, of course, with flying headgear. Come on. We know he's going to go Ohio State, Rick. He has to. Yeah, that was his first pick when he first did it. He's going to go Ohio State in that game.
Yeah, it's going to be a full circle moment. It'd be really funny if he went Texas. If he just went out flipping off the crowd going Texas, that would be funny. I don't see it happening. It's going to be the feel-good moment for Corso on game day. And ironically, in a game that they're not even covering. But you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. It is going to be fun to watch, and getting me to watch a show that's got as much Pat McAfee on it as that, that shows you the power of Lee Corso. So, again, we'll catch up with you again at midseason. Fran Stuckberry, thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1852.